Thank you all for coming. You know, I had a joke loaded about how nobody comes to audio talks, but this is actually a really good turnout, so I'm not gonna. But yeah, there's still some stuff going on. But today we're going to be talking about the sound of Fog Piercer making audio for a Godot project in FMOD. And perfect. Yes. This is just the introductory slide. There's a screenshot of the game, so there's, you know, not just nothing. But before we get to it, what is actually Fog Piercer? Before we get to it, we have contents, actually. We'll be talking about, first of all, what is FMOD and why FMOD and Godot, and then why maybe Godot audio versus why FMOD audio, then some of the stuff we discovered in Fog Piercer that I feel were not super unique, but relatively specific, I guess. And then, of course, there's a third-party plugin. It's not officially supported by Firelight, so we have a third-party plugin. Then what the technical limitations of that could be, how we dealt with it, and, of course, about our dear friends, the programmers. So I figured I would put the contents here, you know, at the beginning, so that if someone figures out that this is not for them, so that they can just, you know, they can just maybe reevaluate. Because there are also some amazing talks, like multiplayer in Domekeeper, right? I would have loved to have seen that. But here's a screenshot from the game. It's one of the more recent versions of it. We actually see that it's a deck builder on a grid where the enemies telegraph their attacks, and then it's your turn, and you have to move them around, you have to damage them. As we can see, a lot of things are happening here. We're targeting with our artillery attack, which is moving the enemies. They're dying because they're hitting the wall and they're sliding back, and it's just all kinds of things happening, but they're actually happening in a turn-based fashion. And so the primary issue of that, of course, comes with the juxtaposition of the visuals versus the actual gameplay, which is turn-based. Let's take a look at some example, maybe, video of Fog Piercer. Hopefully the volume is not too loud. So you see, we traveled through multiple areas of the game. It was, I think it was the first fight, actually. We saw enemies dying. We saw the music changing based on what is happening on the screen. We saw the music changing also based on whether it's your turn or not your turn, and we'll dive a bit deeper into that. First of all, what is FMOD? Most of you, of course, know, and that makes sense because you're the talk with FMOD in the name. Audio middleware developed by Firelight Technologies. You are all probably familiar with this interface, very DAW-like. It's not officially supported within Godot, which is a main pain point that I've heard people talk a lot about. And it's used for adaptive music, sound effects, mixing, a lot more. But of course, that's what most people use it for. That's clear. Now, one of the first big questions is, why should we even use FMOD in Godot? One of the primary things for me is the built-in functionality: authoring, auditing, mixing, VCA. There are things that are already set up because it's a purpose-built tool, of course. And that means that for me, it's very familiar. I can jump directly into it. It is a familiar environment. It is very DAW-like. So if you're familiar with Ableton, Pro Tools, and of course Reaper, then it will be very familiar to you. It is graphical. It is intuitive. Things are colorful. That is also part of the workflow, I feel. One of the big things for me is safety. Voice stealing, limiters, profiling. A lot of people, maybe when they're making their game, they're maybe not aware that, you know, sound effects are stacking, they're very loud, And so this has a built-in functionality that you can just play with. Also with prioritization, the music versus the sound effects, the music should never cut out, right? If you reach the voice limit and then you don't have that in a stock engine, if you don't have it programmed in, then the oldest thing will cut out usually, and most of the time that's the music, and it's not a good thing to happen. One of the big things for workflow is compartmentalization. I know it's a mouthful, but we can work as a team, we can work separate and parallel. I'm not bothering the guys with overwriting their files, and I can just basically plug and play eventually. Now, for me, it's also a question of speed, of course, because when things get done quickly, they have a chance to be fixed in the next iteration before they have to go somewhere. And complexity. Speaking of complexity, I have two screenshots which basically look like there's a lot going on, and that's it. These are from the two music tracks. On the left side, we have a horrible decision that I have made to make a track in 15:4, which is a wonderful time signature for everybody, of course. But I ran into an issue also in FMOD. You cannot the highest number that you can have is 9. You cannot go over 10. You can have 9.8, you can have 9.4, whatever. You cannot have 10.4 and higher. So what I did is one bar of 7.4, two bars of 4.4, and of course you need to punch this in to FMOD for the whole duration of this 8.5 minute track, I believe. And so, yeah, it was quite a wonderful mess, but it was at least possible, which is a good thing to have. And this is for, so maybe a bit of reasoning why it is in 15.4 and it's not just flexing, that we have a boss, and he disables your carriages by yelling at you. He has these big speakers on his car. It's a Trabant, in case anybody's familiar, and has these tank treads, and he yells at you. His character is a little bit a fan of the drink, and so since everything is constantly moving perpetually, I wanted that one beat to be missing, that the 15, you know, you'd expect the 16th there, but it's simply not there, and it throws people off a little bit, but then they kind of get into the vibe of it. So that's all subservient to the design of the character. And on the right side, we have another boss track where basically it is one of the drivers, Monica, and her main enemy, Marauder, the boss. They are in a battle, struggling, and you know, I wanted to reflect this in the music. They are trading as if the stage, they're trading the blows. As you can see, a lot of the wonderful green things up there, those are transitions where it can go and when it can go there. And again, this is something that is very easily, it doesn't look easy because there's a lot of it, and my naming system is horrible. But you know, it's how I exported it, and I just didn't want to do it again. These are just called multi-instrument. I didn't even rename that. I will have to, though, when we have more drivers. And so I wanted to reflect that in the music, and it was very quick for me to demo and to try out and eventually to just press F7 on and hope that it also sounds good in the game. Here we have probably the biggest question. Godot Audio versus FMOD, there are pros and cons. Since I work in FMOD, I decided to include more pros for the FMOD side of things. But I'm sure Paul in the talk after me will include more pros on the Godot side of things, so it's going to be perfectly balanced as all things should be. When you're working in Godot Audio, when you're a solo developer, it makes perfect sense to have everything in that one ecosystem, in that one interface. You're already familiar with it. Adding more things you have to learn, you have to pick up, is of course a time sink. And so that is a really big thing that I think a lot of people benefit from when they have just everything in one place. When you're making maybe small projects where you really don't need much of anything, it's not by any means mandatory. When you have screens that are relatively static, like we have maybe, but if you have screens that are static where the player character maybe is not moving around so much, where everything is centered in the camera, when you're working, and this is specifically for sound people, when you're working in a manner where you're just sending off assets and you're not implementing them, then it makes perfect sense to give the game developers the assets that you've made, the wonderful cool things, and they can put it in the game as they want, and usually that is of course within Godot. And maybe if you have few assets, You don't need to be managing hundreds, maybe thousands of things. It also makes sense to use Godot Audio. Naturally, these are very vague and not generally applicable things. This is just my experience with it. FMod is really great if you have a team, a core team of people, one of which can be working in FMod and setting everything up, and then you just push it, and then it gets implemented and is basically already pre-done, as if. Size, of course, plays a role. If you have maybe dynamic screens, a lot of emitters that need to be existing in 3D, that need to be changing, adaptive music, of course. We'll get to how we have that in Fog Piercer, but if music is a big part, especially in a way that is also tied to the core gameplay, then it makes sense in some cases to use FMod. If your game is audio-focused, it makes perfect sense because these are purpose-built tools for audio. If you're also implementing your own assets as a sound designer, it also makes sense because you're familiar with FMod, and then it's a much smaller step to then put it into Godot, into the engine. And if you have thousands of assets, so many of them, the audio bin in FMod is actually really useful in this way. So that's just a very general overview. Here we have the unique issues. I separated into two things, music and sound effects. These are some of the high-level concepts we'll be getting right through there. Let's first look at the train is the engine. You may have seen other train media, and trains are always powerful things. They're moving forward. They never stop. And we wanted to reflect that in the music. Whenever the train is moving, and from the footage you've seen, that is 90% of the time, the music is doing something, which means you have a lot of music playing a lot of the time, which means you need a track for everything where the train is moving, or at least a stem for everything where the train is moving. You need to be moving from any state into any other state. And we only have ambience when you're stationary. Otherwise, it is just a wide, noisy train ride. It's very comfortable, low sound effect. And otherwise, it's the music that is actually doing things. As you could see, the train was moving, the train stopped, music stopped. It is a wonderful thing with the train brakes, because those are sounds that many of us know as horrible, screechy kinds of things, but they're also an important element of trains as objects. And of course, we have those sparks there, so it took a little bit of finicking to get it working right. But also, we have adjustable speed of the game for accessibility issues and motion sickness, and so it was also fun to have it of dynamic length that is then automated through a parameter. This is basically the same, but in FMod. Yeah, nothing too special there. But as you can see, it travels from a large amount of things to a large amount of things. On that note, we decided not to be actually stopping the music. But while the music is not playing, you can see at the edge here, it's actually caught in a loop. And then it can switch back into the fight. So it's not actually stopped. It's just caught in a silence loop. This seemed the easiest way to get it done. So in a way, the music is always playing. And this is also good because it needs less management from the side of the code, which makes it a bit easier generally. This is the picture, the same thing, of course. Nothing that unusual, I would say. This is a transition. I have a love-hate relationship with transitions, as I think many people do. But of course, the transitions are great in FMod, especially because you can you can hide a lot of the things that are changing, right? A lot of the times, track changes are jarring, especially depending on the material. If it's something very percussive, something very beaty and pumpy, it gets a bit difficult to hide that. So FMod also allows you to do that in a way that makes relative sense. One thing I will point out here is that I have a cymbal swell to kind of hide the transition, and I should have learned about this earlier probably, but if you set it to asynchronous, then it will play even though the playhead of course jumped away from it. So that is also one useful feature that we have here. Let's look at the ambience. This is in a station. right, where do you need to go? Did anybody get that? Yeah, so that is our ambience. It's a very specific thing that a lot of people know and love, and we really wanted to bring that in. How does it work? Here's the same thing, but in F mod. You get the point. But let's get a look at how it's structured. You saw it was basically one event. So whenever a train is stopped, the code just plays one event and everything else is handled through parameters. It makes it much easier for us. But one of the interesting parts of it, I think, is the announcer, because the announcer took a lot of finicking to get right. We'll see. It's comprised of three elements. We have a jingle, we have the voice, and then we have the end signal, which is basically always the same. The jingle is repurposed musical themes from the game, from the music that you recognize. I don't know how it is in Germany, but in Slovakia, each of the train stations has a unique musical jingle, so that it's recognizable, and they're usually based on folk songs, and so we did the same but with our own soundtrack, you know. Then we have the voice. We'll get right into that. So very obviously, I'm sure everybody understood Bahnhof, which makes sense. It's just a bunch of multi-instruments, nothing too fancy. But I think this is also one way how to bring the player into the world. And for example, the names of the trains are little Easter eggs. Our playtesters have their names in there. They just don't know it yet. And, you know, maybe they'll eventually find out. But this is also something that where you can automate a lot of things very easily. These are incredibly quick setups. As soon as you have the assets, you just put it in. This is very far from rocket or even train science. And so FMOD allows you to do this really quickly and you can test it out if it works. You know, if people hate it, if they say, no, I don't want to feel like I'm waiting for 5 hours for a Deutsche Bahn train, then you can take it out and no harm done. You can maybe make some music for it or something. The key element here is, as we saw, the train always continues moving forward. How do we do that? For on the floor, basic beats, but large variations on things that maybe don't seem like they're variating, so that they're not that jarring. But one of the things I'm super happy about are train-like elements, because the train is a very percussive and tonal instrument when you think about it, and so that is a great and easy way to implement that into the music. But of course, you don't want it too much, so FMOD again makes perfect sense to have chance-based and randomized and very, very easily, very quickly set up. Let's maybe take a look at some of these. Let's see whether it plays. Yeah, so as you could hear there, those were the train crossing sounds that are creating a beat for us there in the background. Sometimes we use real recorded ones that I go out and record. The train drivers are very, very careful when they see a person standing very near to the train tracks with weird devices. So I usually just camp out in the bushes just to make it easier. But also, if you're recording and they see you and you have a high visibility vest, they really think that you want them to honk, and it's also not that great. But sometimes, as is in this case, much easier to use things that sound like them. And you know, if you see it for what it is, it still sounds like it could be that. Let's take a look at these kinds of mechanical sounds.
Thank you.
right? All the clicky clackies, again, incredibly easy to set up in such a way that they don't play every time they have a small chance to play. It really allows you to experiment in a quick way, even though you maybe have a day job and you're doing other things, but you still want to find a nice compromise to actually have something creative, to have something that you feel is a little bit different, and FMod allows that. I also wanted to play just the clacky sounds on their own. Nothing all that weird, but together with the music. And you can make room for them, of course, which is really useful in the mix. Let's take a look at our drivers. Monica here. Incredible art. I'm so in love with that. But the drivers are cool. They're essential to the story that we have. They have special dialogues when they're talking to the bosses, when they're basically at the helm of the train. But, however, they are not represented in 3D. You don't have a physical driver anywhere. They are just these beautiful illustrations in the top left corner of your screen, as you could see. But since they are so integral and important also to your deck building abilities, we wanted to somehow have them represented in a way that you're constantly aware of. And so what we decided to do is to have unique instruments, of course, that the music reflects when the drivers are selected. So this technically means a lot more work for not so much payoff, but I feel it's really interesting to have. One more thing to say about Monica here, the world is a very technical world, but the drivers have magical powers, as is very obvious by the juxtaposition of the scuffed train in the bottom left, and of course her magical ice bow. Let's see, hers is a violin, amped up violin. Let's maybe click this. And so if you have a different driver, that instrument is different. Easy to do through the parameters in FMod, the driver instrument. One thing I will mention here is I think a lot of times it's done by having a stem without the drivers and then just add the drivers into it in FMod. I decided to do it all baked in stems. I wanted that little bit of extra control. It is not an issue from the file size point of view because you're still technically exporting the same length of a WAV file. So it allows for extra control. Oh, game state. This is a wonderful, wonderful little thing. You know, everything's moving, but when you're playing, different things are happening, but the screen still looks relatively similar. Things are going ahead. So we need to account for that in the music and in the sound. First of all, whose turn is it? There are only two turns. Is it either yours or is it the enemy's? But what does this actually mean? When you're playing turn-based games, you want to strategize, right? You want to think about what to do and how to do it so that you don't lose or you don't embarrass yourself on stream or other things like that. But when the action is happening, when the enemy is shooting at you, when you're in danger, you want to feel that as well. So what this means is, of course, dynamic mixing, which FMod again makes super, super simple, super easy to do. And that is one thing we are also leveraging. Here, the turn goes into the enemy's turn, and we hear calm drums. There we hear the driver, of course, again. Again, super easy to set up. This is a 5-minute setup in FMod. It's not much more complicated than Godot, but this allows your sound designer or composer to work separately without poking into the same sandpit, without poking around the same files. So this is also one thing. But the environment, slow motion, right? Everybody loves slow motion in action films and action games and everything. We remember playing Fear, right? And we're like, wow, and Max Payne. And of course, here things happen on the grid. There's this large rebar pillar that just goes through, you know, destroys everybody, and you have to push them into it. So the player really needs to feel like they did something incredibly smart that they really took out five enemies in a single turn. And since the music is always there, we need to switch the focus a little bit from the music into powerful deep impact, which we have in this case, and which are so integral to the player fantasy of just killing so many people. Very easy again to do, and the concept of it, I feel, makes the player know that the game acknowledges that they did something that that is smart and that is good, and that they are a good player of this turn-based game. Then we have the tunnel, of course, as you've seen it multiple times already. That's a relatively recent addition. Why would the enemy stop following you? Well, because you went into a tunnel. We also had the idea for a bridge, but for now we have a tunnel. You're safe. There's a victory has been achieved, at least for now. The mix, of course, needs to change to reflect that. Suddenly this wide open environment, suddenly you're in this tunnel. It is safe, but only for now. The feeling we wanted you to have is when you're standing outside the club, you know, everybody's having good fun inside, and you're outside, you can hear the pumping, you can hear all the life going on inside. But as soon as you step in, you will be inside it again. It is as if you were behind a wall on a windy day. When you step out, you get the wind. You're back in that. And so there's another one of the design principles. Here we have it again. And this is actually handled through code, because Christoph beat me to it. I had we get to this a bit later in the talk, but whoever has the time does it, basically. So it calculates exactly when it enters the tunnel, and then it turns on the snapshot. But it can also be done through Fmod if you're faster than the coders, right? In our case, I'm usually not, because it's just not possible. Then we have ultimate cards. If you've seen the talk on cards that Christoph gave earlier today, you will have noticed that we have these super shiny, and players, as soon as they see shiny, they click and they use, because shiny. Each carriage has one ultimate card. These are cards that make you feel incredibly powerful. They are not "I win" buttons, because that I feel that's not as interesting as a powerful card. However, they have three steps in which you interact with them, same as any other card, but now they make sound. First, you select them, then there's a loop while you have them selected, while you're thinking, and then there's the execution of them, of course. Again, something different is happening, so the music takes a step back, and the sound effects come forward. There's a ducking snapshot while the loop is going on. And this is relatively easy again to do, because you have the same event structure. You're just swapping out the assets as needed for the individual cards. Yeah, there's quite a lot of them. Originally, this card was much more powerful. It used to hit all the enemies on the grid, but people just kept playing that, and so it wasn't very interesting. Malfunction is the worst card you can ever have. It is actually the only bad card, I think, despite some of our playtesters may claim something else. But it is the worst card you can ever have. If you've played Slay the Spire or most other deck builders, there's always a card that you don't want to have in your hand. It deals damage. This one, if they destroy your carriage, you get it into the hand, because why wouldn't you? And it is a dangerous card. You have to play it, otherwise it deals damage. You only have 2 HP on the locomotive, so if you let it play twice, you're dead. It is big, red, and glowy. This is its illustration. As you can see, something is clearly wrong. This shade of red, bad things are happening. It is red and glowy because we want people to notice it, but people really weren't noticing it for whatever reason. Very busy with already the things happening. And so what we did is we gave it part of the music. Whenever you have the malfunction card in hand, you have these snares, as we will see in a bit. You have snares playing, and they sound like a little bit of a steam engine chugging, so that you know that sound, that something is up. and it's rhythmic, so that you know that you have to throw it away. This is the core problem of Fog Piercer when it comes to music and audio. This is the one. The gameplay is thinky, but the visuals is high octane. These usually require different things, of course, as we know. Unobtrusive music, a rhythm that is steady, right? You have to be cool under pressure. You have to strategize. You would have drones. You would have ambient beds. On the other hand, prominent music and high octane stuff, pumping rhythms, heavy hits. Somebody's chasing you. There's a lot of dangers. It is a tightrope balance. You're basically making two different things at the same time. And so this requires a lot of balancing around, but not only that, it also requires a lot of tweaking, or at least it did in my case, a lot of tweaking of the individual mixes, of the individual ducking of the individual side chains, and it was really quick to do in FMOD. Speed was really important because I could get it out, we could try it, I could go back, try it again, and we could iterate really quickly. And the more iterations you have, the better it, of course, has to be, unless you're over iterating, but you'll know it. You'll know when you get there. Now we're getting to the sound effects part of it. Information versus immersion. You have two core elements, the grid and the hand, of course. They are connected, but they're separate. And so what this means is that you have different type of sound effects. Some of them you need to know about to play the game, to have a correct feeling from the game, and some of them are there to make you feel good about playing the game. This is a fast deck builder. Players are focusing on the action, not on the UI, because we don't have a typical left U, middle cards, and right enemy setup. So it requires a bit of a different treatment. This is unusual for deck builders, or it was at least when I was thinking about it last. Maybe it is not anymore. There's one thing that we have modules, as you've already heard earlier today. They're basically relics from Slay the Spire, but not. And especially on big screens, they're on your left side, and so people were not noticing them. Some of them have counters, some of them activate in specific times. People were not noticing them, that something was going to happen. So what we did was we panned the sound of them activating a little bit to the left. And especially on big screens, players looked left and they saw, there's something there. In this way, again, it's not FMOD specific, of course, but I think it demonstrates how sound can solve UX or design issues. Next up, we're going to talk about carriage upgrades. You see on the left, we have our noob train. How do I say it? On the left, it's you versus the train. She tells you not to worry about. And on the right side, we see that the carriages are undergoing this visual evolution. A lot of the danger tape, right? There's armor here. You can clearly take more hits. Both of those trains are super scuffed. You can see that they've been through stuff. This happens visually, but I also wanted it to happen in audio. You could chuck a lot of assets into it and just kind of escalate them or scale them. But I found it especially useful to use the direct plugins, you know, in FMOD, the distortion, the delay, and other things to slowly automate your carriages getting stronger. So first what I did is I separated all the cards into groups by carriage. And then I automated delay and distortion. And then, of course, I turned it down so that it's not so loud. Here we have a standard day one artillery shot. Does its thing. But here we have a fully upgraded one with a very subtle upgrade, I guess. It's a bit meatier. Perhaps a bit more easily visible or audible on the minigun. Yes. The key here was to really fine-tune it. Again, speed of iteration was really important. To really fine-tune it, because if you've been playing this game a lot and you hear it a lot, you maybe don't want it to be constantly in your face. Another fun thing we have is cards, but they're not cardboard. They have this more PCB-like structure to them. And this is difficult. So you want variety, of course, because you're going to be using them a lot. But it's relatively difficult to pitch this around in Godot Audio to make it sound pleasant, to create variety, considering all the assets that you maybe shouldn't have so many of. And we basically did this again through FMOD, which I found to have a bit of a better quality of the pitching function. These, of course, need to also be interacting with the effects of the cards themselves, the shooting and the explosions and things like that. So again, dynamic mix comes into mind. Let's take a look at just the card interaction effects. They have a feeling that they're very, very close to you, that they're very intimate, that you're holding them in your hands, whereas this is, of course, very far and it resonates. It shoots out through the entire environment. Repeated actions. Hopefully, people will play our game a lot. Hopefully. I have heard a lot of people say that they turn off audio in games, which I understand if they have to, but we would like if they didn't. And what we are doing is we're hoping that they won't by automating pitch in a very, very minor way on almost everything. We're also automating some other things, gain and a little bit of delays, maybe some reverbs, maybe a little bit of distortion. But it really helps in a very easy way, intuitive way already in the UI to just get quick amount of variation. We keep the asset number relatively low and we provide variety. One thing we're not pitching is the sound effect of the aforementioned boss who yells at you through speakers, because his sound effect is actually in tune with his music, with his music track. And there we have it. He has this powerful guitar riff that he just basically yells at you. We don't have almost any voice acting in the game, so I didn't actually want him yelling at the train. Although I can imagine that would be fun to experiment with as well. This is what my mix looks like currently. There needs to be a lot more work done, but I also need to make a lot more assets, so I'll hopefully get over it. Ducking. The order of ducking is from attacks into effects. Train movement is pretty low, and then card interactions. Not the card sound effects, but interacting with the cards, because those are the things you always see in front of you. So it's very difficult not to see them, except for, of course, the big and glowy malfunction card, which nobody noticed. On the other hand, we have the buses. Here we have it flipped the other way around. You need to know when your modules are activating, you need to be aware of the things that are happening on this kind of meta level, which then, of course, ducks the sound effects bus, which ducks the music. And at the end, we have the ambience bus. Really, those are just a few events there. It's really standard fare, but again, the ease of setup is very, very important. Here we're getting to some of the more esoteric things. Some cards, they don't have any visual effects, and they are abstract and vague in their theming, I would say. They need to be short because they don't have any VFX associated with them, so you don't really have any time to play around. We have these three. These are, I think, my favorite. We have Waste Not, we have Lost and Found, look at that little umbrella, and Mastermind, which is a bit more magic-y. Let's look at Mastermind, for example. You pick one card from the draw pile, you move it to the top of the pile. Sounds standard fare. I originally wanted to do a bit where I ask what the audio should sound like, but let's just look at what it does. Yeah. Very, very different from anything else that you might see in the game, because it is a little bit magical again. And it is exactly this stylistic juxtaposition of magic and technology that also needs to be reflected in the audio. And now we're getting to the fun bits. This is a third-party plugin, as many of you know. What are the pros and cons? A lot of people would say there's only cons, but I don't think that's true. And again, considering that I even, you know, built this whole talk, the pros are there more? No, they're exact. Oh, okay, I tried to be very fair. There's one more on the pros. Whew, okay, very good. Pros, it is flexible. What do I mean by that? Well, you can actually talk to the people who are making it, because if you remember, or if you have experience with this, if you're in Unity or Unreal and you want some feature or you have some issue, you go to the FMod forums, you make a thread if it's not already been made. If it has, you scroll to the 21st page of people requesting this feature and you type a plus one there. and that is it. And then you wait. Then you wait. And hopefully by the time you've shipped your game, that thing is there. This is not the case. And of course, it makes sense why it has to be this way, because these are officially guaranteed, you know, implementations, integrations. So they have to be looking at the numbers game. Here it is not. It's not exactly the same way here. They're flexible. We had a fun issue where we had a memory leak, I think, with the plugin. Christoph messaged the wonderful people at Utopia Rise, and it was fixed basically, I think, the same week. I think it was something like that, right? Amazing. The big benefit is that it depends on the goodwill and dedication of the maintainers. And you will notice that actually that is also on the other side there, which is a double-edged sword, of course, because if something happens, there is much less of a safety guarantee net. Recently, maybe some of you have experienced this with Alessandro's plugin, which is one of the two main ones, where some people feel that it is less maintained these days because of other life issues and other things to do. However, these people are people of the people. They are approachable. You can talk to them, right? You can hit them up. You can be in their Discord. You can talk about what is new and what's gonna happen. This is all community based. You can help if you want to, and everybody benefits from it. The people who are maintaining it are also the people who are using it. They are on the ground with you, and this is something I feel is very underestimated in the way that communities are built, and even when we think from a Godot perspective, right? The way that everybody simply comes together in a community way is something that you can also see in these plugins. On the other hand, of course, there's no official support, so if something breaks horribly, it may have broken horribly, which is connected with the goodwill and dedication. If something happens, it has happened. That's really, unfortunately, all there is to it. It isn't always up to date. Recently, FMod came out with, well, recently, you know, from my perspective, it came recently, 2.03, where you have some really nifty features. And of course, that was not immediately available for use in Godot. But if you already have a project going, then you've probably already figured out workarounds for these features. So you technically are not dependent on hope that that there will be immediate cutting edge implementation. You cannot expect all the little quirks and features of FMod to work perfectly in these types of plugin. Sometimes there are issues with 3D audio, although those have been fixed according to the users and according to the maintainers as well. Sometimes you get a little memory leak, but who doesn't, right? And it can be fixed. It can be fixed. Let's take a look at our technical limitations. There's a little bit snippet of a code. I hope it's okay to show. Krzysztof already showed the whole code today, so if it's recorded, you know. We are calling events by name, which means that when we thought FogPiercer would have been a much smaller game, I just threw everything into one folder and that was it. And eventually I decided not to reshuffle it because I didn't feel like rewriting the names, basically. You have to be releasing the events, of course. Don't forget that. There's one big thing that is currently a pain point for some studios, and that is that plugins for FMod are not currently supported. Promised soon, of course, but soon is a wonderful word. In the newest version, this is not an issue anymore, but in the version before, all parameters had to be float parameters. That means no integers, no label parameters. This is fine, technically, right? You don't need the parameter to be called Monica or station. You can call it zero, right? The float value is zero. As long as you know what it means, you're good. And you can put it in the comments in the bottom left of the FMod interface, and you will be perfectly fine. Oh, sustain points. I remember I was very hyped about sustain points in FMod, and then I explained to Krzysztof, he was, yeah, that sounds like a great thing, right? And then he actually realized what it means to put it into code. And this is basically all just for one event, right? For an event that includes a sustain point, it is a lot. Try to avoid those. That's a recommendation in that way. But how did we actually do it? Why did we do it? Because we don't have any complicated 3D positional things. So why actually FMOD? We decided very early on that audio is as important as anything else, which I'm sure is music to a lot of people's ears and not so much to others. And so that means that it needs to have the tools that we maybe don't need today, but we might need tomorrow. There shouldn't be any obstacles for us that we cannot make a better game because we have decided to work with the audio in Godot, for example. The approach that what Godot does for us is you fire and forget, and don't forget to release, which means everything is set up in FMOD as much as it can be, and that is a lot, which means that I can work independently and things can happen at the same time, as I've already mentioned. I'm relatively autonomous in FMOD. Then we have value versus cost, as simple as possible, as interesting as possible. This is true everywhere. Backups. I was planning to do a backup before I came here, but I'll do one when I get back. Hopefully it all works. Because I know a lot of people have issues with the feeling that their sound designer is sort of holding their project hostage, right? Like they export the banks, but then what about the files, right? So back it up somewhere, separate repo, whatever, deliver it by pigeon on a USB drive. Just have it. But most importantly, have fun with it. Little Easter eggs that would maybe be a bit of work in Godot are actually super easy in FMOD. If you kill an enemy by throwing them off a cliff, there's a very small chance that this sound plays. And these are things that otherwise cost you or cost the coders maybe time, which is much better spent on making a game, you know. But on the other hand, it's just very easy and quick and simple if you're already doing it in FMOD. And now we're getting to programmers, our friends. From a point of view of a programmer, I've heard this a lot. Audio is seen as a black box, as an extra hassle. What is it? I don't see into it. It's not in my engine here. You're doing something else somewhere, and then somehow it goes in. The very typical question is, how will the audio make the game better? It's a perfect question, but we have to be ready to answer that a lot. But a better game is always a better game. Which means if all the elements are great, then the game also comes up great, right? This means we have to coordinate and communicate. 50% of it is sales. There are good reasons why we are selling the idea of having more complicated audio. Really, FMOD is a closed environment that a lot of people don't see into because they don't need to see into it. That's why they get people who are especially seeing into it. And so that means we need to communicate in a way that shows why this is a good idea. And hopefully the presentation had some thoughts on that. And of course, no basic code practices. Know what is feasible when you're suggesting the idea. When you're suggesting that, oh, let's have 100 things that are all different and it'll be great. If you're pitching that, know whether you can do that or not. And that is it. In case you looked at all this and you said, wow, this is all nonsense, then wait for Paul's talk, who will teach you how to do many of these things in Godot without FMOD. Thank you.
Thanks a lot for the amazing talk. I feel like I learned so much. Now I'm an FMOD expert. I think we have a little bit of time for questions. Maybe two questions?
Oh. Hopefully not difficult ones, right? What inspired you to make music? I hope that's one of them.
Hello. Hi. Great talk, thanks.
Thank you.
Let's say you are in a studio who does not want to pay the license for FMOD and the coders hate plugins because console ports or whatever.
Yeah.
And you had the choice to pick like one major feature of FMOD to port it to Godot, what would you pick?
Oh, that's actually a very good one. For me, it's a question of workflow primarily, but it depends. Okay, do the are the programmers and is the rest of the development team attitude that audio is great and we love it, or is it that?
Of course.
Yeah. Oh, right. Then it's not so much an issue. But I would. That's a good question. I would probably pick the workflow, the ease of workflow for me. Everything's already set up for me. I just plunk it in, and it eventually works. Maybe transitions and things like that. They're done relatively okay in FMOD compared to Godot. But it depends on so many things. I feel that there are a lot of things I would pick. But I think primarily the workflow working, not only my workflow, but also working with the team, that I can just do the thing on the side while communicating, and then the thing gets put in the bigger thing, and it's hopefully a good thing.
I think we had one more question here.
So the audio is synchronized to what's happening on the screen. Does it also happen the other way around, like maybe the train is delayed slightly so that it enters the tunnel right on a beat or something like that?
We were thinking of this, not specifically with the tunnel. We were thinking about it from with different things. But this is a question where we decided to... No, it's not. But this is a question where we decided to prioritize accessibility, because you can, in the options, you can change the speed of the visual travel of the train. And we felt this is a much bigger bang for your buck. So rather we did it the other way around. Whenever it enters, it does its own thing. It sometimes works out, though, really well. And those moments, we hope that players feel like, oh, how did they do this? It's exactly synchronized, you know. So we hope that works.
So thank you very much. Big applause for Peter.
Thank you.